On the feast of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the 18-year-old novice and saint of the Society of Jesus, I think we might reflect on the youth of this young saint, the power of God's grace, and the value of a strong determination to be holy. Stanislaus wanted to enter the Society of Jesus. His parents were strongly opposed. He left home and literally walked from Poland across the Alps to Rome. He was accepted, and before he finished his novitiate, he died, partly, no doubt, by the exhaustion of his humanly impossible journey. God is no respecter of persons. We don't have to live a long life. I can say this with confidence, to become holy. Young people can put old people to shame by their love of God and heroic virtue in the service of God. Stanislaus was a very determined person. I like St. Francis de Sales' definition of a saint. A saint is one who wants to become a saint. Thanks, that's it. The grace is there, but we can be very weak-willed. And if there is anything that today's church needs, it is men, women, and children of courage. Finally, Stanislaus met humanly insurmountable obstacles from his own family, including his own brother. Expect difficulties. One condition: you must really want to follow Christ. So it takes that adverb, really. And you're going to pay for it. In our modern, sophisticated vocabulary, you're going to be put down as a weirdo, a psychotic, or a simpleton. Expect opposition from the world. And you don't have to look for it. Lord Jesus, over the centuries, you have given us youthful saints to remind us that in the last analysis, it is your grace that makes us pleasing to you. But also, dear Jesus, we beg you, dear Jesus, to never, never run away from difficulties. Cherish them. Embrace them. Dear Lord, may we kiss the cross every day, because it is in the cross that there is salvation. In the cross there is joy of spirit. In the cross there is peace of heart. In the cross there is sanctity. In the cross there is the hope of eternal life. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There couldn't be a more appropriate gospel for today's feast. Saint Joseph Pignatelli, the second founder of the Society of Jesus. As you know, after some 200 years of existence, the Society of Jesus was suppressed by the Pope, but under terrific pressure of the enemies of the Society. Why were there so many enemies of the Society of Jesus in the late 18th century? Especially for three reasons. First, because by then some 20,000 Jesuits throughout the world. Because the Society of Jesus insisted that the human mind should humbly submit in faith to the mind of God. The intellectuals of those days claimed only simpletons believe. Intellectuals, well. So we were a standing rebuke to the intellectuals. Voltaire, the encyclopedists, the ones who split the civilized world down the middle, the French Revolution. Why were the Society of Jesus hated? Because we not only claimed, we proved you can be profoundly intelligent and yet have the faith of a simple child. Why were the Jesuits hated? Because they were educators. Universities, secondary schools. And, as you know, the most tyrannical power that one person can exercise over another, his power over the mind. We were hated because we were educators. Educators, needless to say, in the truth. We were hated. And our schools, of course, were wiped out. Well, there's a third reason. And in a way, summarizing everything else. We were hated because we were such strong, loyal defenders of the Bishop of Rome. The Pope have always had his enemies. For the first 300 years of the Church's existence, not a single Pope died a natural death. They were all martyred. For defending the papacy, we were hated, as Christ tells us in the gospel we've just read, by the wolves. Needless to say, as a member of the Society of Jesus, we need, dear Lord, how we need men who have those three qualities. intelligent, but believing. Teaching God's revealed truth and being willing, as several thousand died under the suppression, being willing to die to defend the vicar of Christ. Saint Ignatius and Saint Joseph Pignatelli, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. One of the surprises of the history of the Society of Jesus is the number of martyrs we have among missionaries in different countries. Today's martyrs were natives of what is now Paraguay in South America. Their forebears came from Europe and they were evangelizing the wildest tribes of India in Asia and the wildest tribes of America. As the gospel we've just read makes plain, the world, as Christ puts it, will hate you. They will persecute you, put you out of their synagogue, even kill you. Saint John, who recalls this incident in the Gospels, is the great evangelist of the truth. Christ, he keeps repeating, this is John, that Christ was the truth. I am the truth. And how this needs to be said, how it needs to be inscribed, burned into bronze. The world hates the truth. You tell the world the truth, and the world will reject you. We might change one word in that statement. This world. Those who believe that's all we have is this world. They'll hate you because they think you are somehow preventing them from enjoying this world. The key that unlocks the secrets of our faith is the revelation that we are not made for this world. As I keep repeating, in 44 years of the priesthood, oh, the mountain of knowledge I've learned. But one thing that is becoming more and more plain every day, those who really believe in Christ, who are truly his followers, who are authentic, bona fide, unqualified, and not pseudo-Catholics, believe there's a world beyond this one. That we're in this world all right, but we're not made for this world, and therefore we behave accordingly. The world believes. It's got a faith. Oh, they believe. They believe this is all there is to human existence. And if there is anything beyond this world, at the very least, we're not sure. We must. For years now, I've been telling people, either we decide to live a martyr's life, resign ourselves to living that kind of a life, or we won't make it. Not today. As our recent bishops' meeting so pathetically revealed, there are bishops, pray for them, who no longer believe. Pray for them. Priests, you don't lose 10,000 priests in our country without a reason. Religious, you don't lose 80,000 sisters without a reason. You don't close 40 parishes in one archdiocese without a reason. You don't have empty seminaries, empty novitiates without a reason. And the reason is the conformity of those who once had the faith have caved in to the world. Lord Jesus, give us, we beg you, the strength to live as followers of Christ and like Him, to be willing to pay the price of our faith in a world to come, so that paying the price for our faith here on earth, we may merit that eternal life for which we were made. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't think there is a more important prayer that we can offer to God than the prayer of the blind man we've just read in the Gospel. Lord, that I may see. Lord, that I may see. It is remarkable the number of blind people that Jesus healed and to whom He restored their sight. Clearly, the sight we need, most of us, is not to heal the blindness of the eyes of our bodies, but to heal the blindness of our minds. Over the years, in teaching the theology of grace to my Jesuit students, I told them, and got a lot of feedback, we never can be assured of the grace of knowing what to do in any given situation. Seems unjust on the part of God to place us sometimes into difficult, complicated, bewildering circumstances. And have to believe that God does not guarantee that we'll know His will just because the situation arises. The only grace we are ever sure of receiving is the grace to to pray for the light we need. Lord, that I may see, should be. This is not a pious exaggeration. This is not a cheap platitude. This is reality. Faith tells us we should always do the will of God. But what is God's will? What does He want me to do? What does He want me to do? What does He want me to do here and now? I repeat, we have no guarantee of knowing God's will in all the myriad, complex, bewildering circumstances of life. We don't, unless we ask for light. Lord, that I may see, should be on our lips and in our hearts. I'm not exaggerating. All day. God has given us a free will. And whatever else we don't know, let's be sure we know this. The single most important use to which we should put our free will is to pray. Lord Jesus, You placed us into a very complex, complicated, mysterious world. You place us into situations daily where we want to do Your will, but we're not sure what Your will is. Give us the grace spontaneously, just as we naturally open our eyes of the body to see where we're going, give us the grace to pray and ask, Lord, that I may see where I'm going with my mind, so that seeing Your will, I may do it here in this life. And having done Your will in this life, because I've gone through life praying incessantly, Lord, that I may see, seeing Your will, often, dear Jesus, demanding here on earth, I may see Your face in that heavenly eternity for which I was made. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is customary on Tuesdays to offer the votive mass in honor of the holy angels. Devotion to the holy angels is part of our Catholic faith. Over the centuries, the saints have had a great devotion, especially to their guardian angels. And we should always, and surely in our day, be conscious of and protect ourselves from the evil spirits. When we say we should be devoted to the angels, it means two things. It means we should invoke them, speak to the angels, especially our own guardian angel. It also means that we should strive to imitate the angels. By imitating the angels, as the gospel we've just read indicates, it means that we strive as much as we can to live by faith in the presence of God, as they are constantly, the angels, beholding the face of God. There is nothing, nothing more important in our spiritual lives than to make ourselves, and it's a lifetime task, make ourselves conscious, aware of the presence of God. Following the example of the angels, we should strive. We've got to work at this. Strive to be aware of God's presence, first of all, as a living Christ in our churches and chapels. Aware of God's presence in everything in our lives. As I've said so often, there is no such thing as chance with God. God is in, beneath, within, below, above, and surrounds everything in our lives. And to praise Him, no matter what, as we casually say, happens in our lives. We also should daily pray the two prayers that every Catholic should recite every day are the prayer to the guardian angel and the prayer to Saint Michael, the archangel. Every day. If you have children, teach them these two prayers to be recited daily. And finally, devotion to the angels means also being aware of the evil spirit who is constantly at work, deceiving people and dragging them from their service of God to the love of and adoration of themselves. Lord Jesus, You have given us Your holy angels to protect us. Help us to follow their inspirations and protect us, dear Jesus, from those evil spirits whom You exorcised during Your public ministry in Palestine. Dear God, exorcise, drive the evil spirit out of so many, especially leaders in our society, who are being agents of the evil spirit, taking souls away from You and dragging them to hell. Dear Savior, Let us always be conscious of your presence, as are the angels. See you in everything in our lives, so that seeing you in everything in this life, we might see you in the company of the angels, face to face, in that heavenly eternity for which we were made. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let our gospel, the one we've just read, should teach us. It is that God is indeed merciful. He is the God of love. But He is also the God of justice. Who nowadays talks about the justice of God? It is love, comma, love, comma, love. God is the God of love. Everything we are, everything we have, has come from the infinitely loving God. God is love. Turn the page. But God is also just. God demands, He demands that we live up to His sometimes hard commands. God gives us grace. He is constantly providing us with opportunities of serving Him. He is our Lord. And we better serve Him. We better do His will. We better obey His commands. Otherwise, this God who is love will, how this needs to be said, in a world where the justice of God seems to have been forgotten. God does punish. Semicolon. God does punish. Exclamation mark. God has rights. He is our God. He is a master. And if we don't do what He wants us to do, He will. He will punish. We are, as the long parable we've read couldn't make clearer, we are His servants. Lord Jesus, we believe with all our hearts that You are the God of love. But, dear Lord, teach us to think with our heads. You are also our Lord. You are our Master. And we are Your servants. The graces and gifts You have so lavishly given us, You will demand of us an account. Make us aware, dear Lord, of the graces you constantly give us, aware of your will, dear Jesus, let's not forget that we are to love God, but also to fear God. Because, dear Savior, you do reward, but you also punish. Help us, dear Lord, to love you with all our hearts. But, Lord, help us also to fear you, because you are our just judge. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the feast of the presentation of the Blessed Virgin. It is not, as we know, part of sacred scripture. It is, however, part of the Church's tradition that Our Lady, at the age of 3, was brought by her parents to the Temple of Jerusalem and offered, not necessarily to stay there, but offered to God, that she then would spend her life in the service of God. It is also part of the tradition that Our Lady, already at the age of 3, had made a vow of consecrated chastity, being immaculately conceived, as our faith tells us. She had an extraordinary capacity for knowledge, which the rest of us lack because our minds are darkened by original sin and its effects. It is useful, I think, to recall that not a few practices and beliefs in the Catholic Church are not necessarily found in sacred scripture. This is one of them. What does the Feast of Our Lady's Presentation tell us? It tells us that we should dedicate our lives to God. There is such a thing as serving God by avoiding sin. There is such a thing as obeying the commandments of God in order to ensure our salvation. But beyond salvation is sanctification. Above doing what we must do under divine precept, all of us, whatever our state of life, should recognize, and I'm talking to the right audience, I'm sure none of you would think you didn't come to Mass at 6:30 in the morning. You'd commit sin. There is such a thing as doing more for God than we're obliged to do under pain of sin. Sanctity consists in going beyond what is prescribed. God, we believe, manifests His will in two ways, imperatively and invitingly. Imperatively, by commanding us, so that unless we obey, we risk our salvation. But invitingly, in effect, telling us, as He told the rich young man, if you would be perfect, if you want to go the whole way, then go sell what you have, give the proceeds to the poor, and then come follow me. One closing recommendation. In the spirit of today's feast, let's ask Our Lady to obtain for us an understanding of what God would want us to do, which we are not obliged to do, in order to go beyond God's imperative will to please Him. Those we love, that's almost a definition of love. Those we love, we want to do what we can for them to show our love. Love does not ask, do I have to? Love does not ask, will I sin if I don't? Love wants to give itself to the God who loves us and loved us even to dying on the cross out of love for us. Our Lady's presentation in the temple as a child was consummated on Calvary when she offered her own beloved Son dying on the cross out of love. Lord Jesus, give us the grace to follow the example of Your Mother in giving ourselves to You with all our hearts, and never, dear Jesus, never asking the cost. All we want to know is what would please You, and give us the grace and the generosity to do it. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.